Blog Talk Radio.
Calling in tonight, and welcome to Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. And this is Kwajalein, your host. My husband Kenny, he'll be in here in a second. We thank you all for taking your time out to listen to us tonight, and for the callers that have called in, we do appreciate your time. And if you are streaming right now and you would like to call in to join in on our topic tonight, please give us a call at 657-383-1571. Again, that's 657-383-1571. Having to care for an elderly or sick parent can sometimes become very strenuous on a family. The financial, emotional, and physical strain can sometimes seem like too much to carry. In some cases, the stress places married couples in a position of discord and confusion. It is not uncommon to hear of couples separating in cases where the care of an elderly parent is required. What can families do to help ease the stress? What resources are available to help those families? So we're going to discuss these things and other questions. We're asking, you know, that you please join in if you have any experience with this, or if you just have knowledge, you don't even have to have direct experience. Which, if you have anything to say on this topic, we do ask that you join us tonight on the conversation. And again, streamers, 657-383-1571. And now I'm going to introduce my husband, Kenny.
Hello, everybody. How you doing?
And we're going to go ahead and open up the lines. Keisha, are you there?
I am. Hi, everyone. How's everyone doing today?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good. Thank you for calling in tonight. We appreciate it.
No problem.
And your line will be open. We hope to hear from you on tonight. And we're going to go ahead to our next caller. Pastor Michelle, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Kwajalein?
Hello, good. How
are you?
I am good. I have been waiting to get back on. I got the kids quiet for a moment, so I'll be muting my phone.
No, that's all right. Hey, you know how we do on this show. We understand kids in the background. It's about family. So we all right. You got two precious babies over there and a precious little toddler. Sometimes we need to hear them babies, child. They bring us joy.
Hear one right now.
So your line will be open. We look forward to hearing what you have to say tonight.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Mish, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good, Pastor. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling in tonight.
No problem. Hi, Pastor Michelle.
I was screaming on mute, Mish.
Figured he was. It's Pastor Kenny there. Hey, Pastor Kenny.
Hey there. How you doing?
I'm good.
Well, we appreciate you for calling, and your line will be open, Mish, if you have anything to say.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So we'll go ahead and jump into our topic. Usually I have a bunch of notes, but tonight I don't. I don't have a whole, I don't have notes for tonight, so we're going to, we're really just going to get in this, speak from the heart, speak from experience. you know, for those that have experience, because this is a very sensitive, another sensitive topic, but one that needs to be discussed because, you know, it is something that that occurs. So in the event of having to care for an elderly parent, we know that the circle of life happens. And I know, you know, for those of us who are away, you know, that oftentimes when we do go back and we see our parents and everything, you know, especially when we were like in Germany, those things, you know, you notice that they have aged. They're aging. And so even when you're there, you notice it, but it's even more so, I guess, of a shocker when you've been away and you go home and you notice it. But anyway, this is something that can apply to all of us. You know, we know that, like I said, the circle of life happens, and part of it is, you know, birth. We're born. We go through being a child, teenagers, young adults, older, you know, in our prime. And then, you know, we come around to the elderly years, the latter years, as they call them. And so in that event, a lot of times, you know, when the parents get sick, they have to be taken care of. Now, we know that there are some, a lot of families, they have already made the decision, I don't want to put, you know, my parents in a nursing home. Me, that's if that's the choice that I have, that's something that I would prefer not to do. However, there are cases where you really don't have that option, you know, because sometimes caring for them at home becomes, it becomes too much and you're not equipped or, you know, to do that. But in the case, you know, of an elderly parent, having an elderly or sick parent, it does often cause stress and strain on the family as a whole, but then on married couples, because you do have, you know, some cases where you have multiple siblings, but it seems like a lot of times the blunt of it falls on, not all the time, because I know siblings that work together very well, but you have those cases too where the blunt of it falls on one sibling. And then you have the cases where, you know, like Mish, but she's the only child. And so what do we do in those situations, you know, when it comes down to this is happening to my spouse's parent and it's, you know, my spouse is stressed out. Then we have this extra financial obligation that we didn't realize, you know, that we weren't prepared for. You know, we have young kids. Our kids are enrolled in sports and our kids are enrolled in, you know, after school activities and, you know, other academic activities. And then, you know, then we bring in our elderly parent, and then, you know, the things that we once shared as far as responsibilities, we can no longer share anymore. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. You know, it does become very, very stressful on couples. Do you have anything to say? That's far back.
Yeah, there are times where, you know, there are multiple siblings, and then there always is one that eventually takes care of the parent. What I've noticed over my years, just, you know, growing up with my family and things of that nature, is that sometimes people tend to, how can I put it? It seems as if though sometimes the siblings forget, you know, the things that, you know, mom or dad has sacrificed in order to raise them. And it doesn't come back, you know, full circle where, you know, your parent is at that age where he or she can no longer take care of themselves, and they need that stability and knowing that, you know, they have somebody there that's in their corner that's gonna take care of them. And you know, I like I said, I've had to deal with this from personal experience, just watching, you know, the matriarch of my family, my grandmother, passing away, and how much stress it was causing, you know, in order for one family member to raise my grandmother, or not, I'm sorry, not raise my grandmother, but to take care of my grandmother, and she had raised 8 children, you know, and it's just kind of tough to see.
Right, and so you had, even though there were 8 children, there were not 8 caretakers. And so, you know, we have that a lot of times. And so I guess what do we do when that happens and you have one spouse, this is the parent of one spouse, and that spouse is saying, you know, I don't want my mom or my dad to be in a nursing home. I want to be in a position to take care. I want to take care of them. But then the spouse is saying, no, it's too much, and it becomes an area of, you know, conflict. So how do we come to a mutual agreement when it comes to that? And then I guess it also depends on what the illness is. When you're dealing with, you know, things like Alzheimer's, dementia, you know, things like that, then, you know, that requires just care all the time, especially when it's in advanced stages. And so sometimes, you know, you go from 2 incomes to 1 because sometimes a person has to quit working to be there to take care of, you know, their parent, or maybe not, but then you have to find a, you know, a suitable and trustworthy person that will come in and take care of your parents, someone that you can trust, because we know there's a lot of abuse out there. So what happens in the event of, you know, the spouse saying, well, this is not what I want. I don't want our life disrupted like that. So, you know, does anybody have any suggestions for anybody that may be going through that right now?
Well, that will be where it'll be a couple that's torn when it comes to that at times, all right, especially when, you know, either spouse realizes that there are multiple siblings. So that can be a stress and a strain. However, you can come to a mutual agreement, and then if need be, sometimes you may have to find an in-home caretaker, you know, in order to take care of your parents to suit their needs. But I find it kind of disturbing to think of the fact that all of us one day are eventually going to get to that point where we're going to not be able to take care of ourselves. And in doing so, you know, I find it kind of weird and a little scary to think that, you know, there's a possibility that my children, which I'm not expecting for my children to take care of me. I want to be able to take care of my wife, or I want my wife to be able to take care of me, you know, when we get into our older age and we become more seasoned, you know, adults. I want to be able to take care of my wife, and I want my wife to be able to take care of me. But and I want my kids to be able to have that freedom of not having to worry about me or having to worry about mom. I want them to be able to enjoy their life. But when there are multiple siblings, I just really find it hard to believe that all of them can't pitch in to take care, to ensure that their parents get the best care, whether it's mom or dad. Make sure they get the best care. Even if you do put them in, I wouldn't necessarily say what you call it, a nursing home, but they do have a senior home where, you know, the parents still have their independence. They have their own apartment, basically. They have somebody come in to clean their apartment for them. You know, they have little activities and things like that, field trips and stuff they take the elderly on. I mean, I think it's, but you know, then you still have to wonder to yourself, are there facilities out there that are actually doing good screen checks on the employees that they're bringing in, so that, you know, somebody else's mom or dad, or even my mom or dad, won't get hurt or get abused.
Right, and you do have some good facilities, and you have some that are just not so good. I know when I worked at the at the housing authority. It really broke my heart because there were a lot of elderly people. I don't know if you remember me talking about this, but Keisha, I don't know if you remember I used to talk about this or not, but there were a lot, you know, quite a few elderly people out there whose children had just pretty much, you know, abandoned them. I mean, they would come and see them every now and then, but they were very lonely. Their children were not very involved with them, and I don't know if it was because of, I don't know, I don't, you know, I don't know the reasons why that was like that, you know, but I don't know if one of the reasons, if any of them were like that because it caused conflict in the marriage, you know, I'm not sure, but it happens, and we see it, you know, we see it all the time, and I do think that's why when people do, you know, when people do start nonprofit organizations or they start, you know, ministries and things like that, you do have quite a few people that will go to, you know, the nursing homes and the senior facilities, and they go and they visit with them and they sit with them and things like that, because a lot of them do not have, you know, family that is involved. But again, how do, you know, when that happens and it's something that comes up in a marriage, how do you make a compromise? I do think that it's important before, for those of us that are already married, you know, if our parents have not gotten to that place yet, it's definitely a conversation we should sit down and have. And I think that's a lot of the problem, too, because we don't communicate about it. We don't really talk about it. But it's something that we need to talk about with our spouses. Well, what if this happens to my mom? What is it? What if this happens to my dad? You know, what are we willing to do? What are we willing to, you know, to sacrifice? And for those that are not married, that's definitely something that you want to talk about before marriage. Now, Kenny and I didn't talk about that before marriage. It wasn't anything we were thinking about at the time. We were, you know, in our early 20s, and I guess it just seemed so far away then. But now, you know, my dad is about to be 76 and my mom 71, and it's, I don't know, it's heartbreaking. It truly is. It's heartbreaking because, like I said, you know, the circle of life happens, and it's I don't know, it's just heartbreaking. So, you know, definitely, though. Go ahead.
I was about to say, I think sometimes, I was trying to comment earlier, but I got disconnected. I think sometimes people or, you know, we just get so consumed with our own lives and things that we have going on in our own homes that we lose sight of other things. You know, we have pretty busy schedules sometimes, and sometimes, and this is just in reference to what you were saying about, you know, the elderly people being lonely and the kids not coming around. I just think it's difficult, and I think sometimes people just don't make it a priority when it should be a priority. So I think that's part of the reason why, you know, people don't come around as often as they should, because we just get consumed with our own personal lives.
May I interject as well?
Sure.
I can speak from experience. My dad passed away in 2013. Prior to him passing, he in 2011 suffered a double baseline stroke, which is two strokes that happened at the same time at the base of his neck that should have killed him. Very few people live through that, be it in a coma or anything else. Longer story short, he went into a facility because he was in North Carolina and I was in Tennessee. And I made several trips to visit my dad because I always said I didn't want to live with the shoulda, woulda, coulda. It was a 9-hour drive. I would hit that road in a minute. It didn't bother me. With or without my husband, I would hit the road to go see my dad. The hardest thing was leaving the facility knowing that I had to leave him there because he was not in good enough care for him to travel and to make the drive to where I was. One thing that I suggest to anybody who's listening, don't live with the regrets of not being able to see your parents or take care of them or when they get to that age. I do know that there are some people, like my Aunt Artelia, she lived to be 100 and I want to say 5 or 7, I'm not sure. She never had to see a nursing home. Nobody ever took care of her. She always took care of herself. She did whatever, you know, she of course quit driving around about 100, but she didn't have to have that extra care. And when she decided, she said, okay, I know my time is getting near. I'm going to go, like Pastor Kenny said, into a retirement community. And nobody had to take care of her. That was very fortunate. She outlived all of her children and most of her grandchildren as well. If we don't talk about this now, it will hit. When it hit, like Pastor Kenny said and Pastor Kwajalein said, it should not be a burden on just one sibling. However, the responsible sibling, if you realize that you are the responsible sibling, one thing that I will suggest to you, make sure you take out life insurance on your parents, because when the day comes, because we're going to all have to say this, pass away on this side of the earth, we want to ensure that if you don't have siblings that, you know, going to pitch in, because, you know, we got those ones that say, well, I ain't got it. I wish I could help. If you're the responsible one, make sure you take out some type of life insurance that will help you, that it will not affect your family with trying to assist in the departure of your family member. With that being said, you can take out a living life insurance to where they have to go into a nursing home or you take care of them, that you will also get assistance in doing that as well if they come in your home. So there's options that we can explore that it won't seem to be such a hardship on the family, but it is something worth discussing.
Absolutely. It is definitely something worth discussing. And, you know, there are times where And we all have gone through, we all have experienced where we have just not made that best decision as a parent. And then our kids grow up to become adults, and then here we are elderly, and that child who's now a grown-up tends to hold on to the past instead of allowing to let go and looking at how much the good outweighed the bad. Did my mom take care of me? Did my dad take care of me? Did they provide a roof over my head? You know, things of that nature. And sometimes that causes and hinders children or siblings even to pitch in and help. So with that being said, forgiveness is a very important tool, not only for the parent, but also for the child. For the simple fact is, you know, if you like you said, Pastor Michelle, if you continue to dwell on the shoulda, woulda, couldas, well, you know, I go talk to her. I just don't feel like talking to him. I don't feel like talking to her because, you know, when I was little, they made me mad. They did this to me or they told me this, and I just can't get away from that. Don't be the shoulda, woulda, coulda child that's now an adult, and then now mom and dad has you know, left earth, and then you're sitting left with a life full of regret. Oh, man. Why can't I just apologize? And then, you know, lots of times what happens is, you know, when you have those kids that have been hurt, it's really sad to say, but sometimes it does take the departure of one of the parents, i.e. in death, for them to finally come to their senses and realize how much of a mistake and how much time they wasted holding on to a grudge, and then they're left going to a tombstone to talk to their mom and their dad. When they could have made it right when they were there, you know. So I mean, kids, if or listeners, you know, mom and dads, we don't always make the best decision, and you know, parents, we don't always make the best decisions. But at the same time, you know, make sure you're loving on your kids, because a lot of people always say, be careful, because don't bite the hand that feeds you, because eventually the same hand that helps you is going to need the help in return. So, I mean, but we just need to pray and ask God to give us the strength to be able to live and be as fortunate, Pastor Michelle, as your auntie, I believe you said she was. Make sure that we're even fortunate enough to be able to live a long, prosperous life, healthy, you know, and be able to get out and be mobile on our own as well.
Amen.
Right. I completely agree with everything you guys said. And Keisha, like you said, it is true that sometimes we get so caught up in our daily routine, especially when you have little kids. When you have little kids, I think that's another thing that causes a lot of strain when you, you know, because we do have some people that have kids that are small, you know, they have kids older. You know, Kenny and I, we're not old, but compared to our friends, you know, we had kids late because we became parents. I was 29, you know, compared to a lot of the people I know, they, you know, was earlier than that. But it's when you have young kids and then you factor in, you know, a parent that has become sick, disabled, you know, or needs that care, then it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of stress. It's a lot of financial, you know, emotional. And I think that sometimes we not only, in addition to becoming too consumed with our lives, we just don't feel like we have enough to give. You know, we feel like it's just, I don't have any more to give. I'm giving, you know, because even when you are married, you have your kids, you know, parents sick, jobs for those that are working, you know, all of this, still got to take care of the house, this and that. And then you still have your spouse because you still, you know, have to, even though that spouse may be understanding and understand, okay, well, he or she cannot give me as much time, but you still can't, we still can't just completely neglect, you know, our spouses. And then it's like, you know, you feel like you don't really have a whole lot left. So, you know, we do have to be in a place of planning, I guess, as best as we can, because there are some things that we can't plan for, but, you know, we know that our parents are, you know, are getting older. Like Pastor Michelle was saying, you know, she really gave some good examples. You know, we need to really be in a position of planning, talking. You know, Kenny and I, that's a conversation that we've had recently. Well, not like in the last couple of weeks, but we've had recently, like this year. You know, if anything happened to his mom or my mom, you know, my dad, he has other kids. I don't think foresee him needing me. But, you know, as far as our moms, you know, what would we do? And the awesome thing that I love about, you know, the relationship that we have is that we both support each other and what we, you know, what we desire to do. And so that's important, too, when you are, you know, you're getting married again, talk about those things, because you do want somebody, if you can, because, you know, we know people change. That's just what it is. But, you know, try your best to be with someone that, you know, kind of thinks along the same lines as you do concerning that. For those that are taking care of elderly parents, you know, try your best to still take time out for just you and your family. So you and your kids, you and your spouse, and for you. It may not be a lot of time. It may just be, you know, one Saturday a month or whatever. But if you have an elderly parent living in the house, you know, it's just like we have to find daycare for our children. Still try to find, you know, someone that can come in and sit with that parent. So you and your, you know, your family, you guys can get out and still have that family bonding time, because we get so caught up in things that we kind of lose focus of that. So, you know, do that. Then have somebody to watch the kids so you and your spouse can still date, even if it's once a month, because it's important. And even in the midst of all the stressful things that we go through, it's important that we still try to maintain, you know, our relationships, our marriages as best as we can. So make sure you do that. Spend some time for you, get a, you know, spend some time by yourself. Get your pedicure, you know, well, men like them too. You know, whatever you like to do. My husband, he likes to go to the range. You know, just whatever you like to do. If it's just once a month, do something for you. And that's something that we should all do anyway, but definitely in a situation where you are, you know, you have that extra responsibility, that I don't want to say extra, but you have that responsibility now of, you know, taking care of an elderly or disabled, you know, parent, grandparent, you know.
Absolutely. And the mutual agreement, it may take a minute sometimes, but, you know, you work on it. And then there's a possibility that it might be one spouse thinking one way and one spouse thinking another. But, you know, let's remember our parents, you know, how much they sacrificed, you know, and how much they actually took that time out to be able to raise us, you know. My mom had some, you know, some shortcomings coming up when it came to raising my brother and I. But, I mean, through it all, I still care about her. I still love her. And you know, I do what I can to make sure I help take care of her. But just being the parent that I am, like I said, I don't want my kids to feel tied down. So if it did come down for them to actually have to put me in a nursing home, or my wife and I both in a nursing home, I just want to make sure I can see my grandchildren. I want to make sure I can see my children. You know, and I want to be able to live a life where I'm carefree and I don't have to worry about nobody, you know, beating on me or vice versa, you know.
I don't want to go in no nursing home, but, you know. So, you know, but these are things that we have to talk about. Like you said, you know, Kenny, you bringing up us. Well, that's something that, you know, we should talk about now. And I guess start making arrangements for ourselves as well, you know. That's something else because, like Pastor Michelle said, it is something that is going to happen. If we're not here when Jesus comes, then that is definitely, you know, we're going to have to – that's a road that we definitely have to take. When I was in school, I did a paper, and it was about this topic here, you know, caring for an elderly parent. And one thing that statistics have shown is that a lot of people that do care for elderly parents go through a period of depression. And so that is something else, you know, I would like to talk about. If you're listening, if that is, you know, something, if you are caring for an elderly parent and things are going on with you and you don't realize what it is, you know, unexplained frustrations, crying, wanting to sleep a lot, you know, all of those things, I would definitely look up the signs of depression, and I would say, you know, talk to someone, friend, you know, whoever you have to talk to, even if you have to go to, you know, go to a doctor, because on this show we do believe, you know, in medical, we say we Christians, we believe in divine healing, you know, we love Jesus, we know Jesus loves us, however, we also know that doctors are here for a reason, you know, and that if you have to go to see someone, you know, when you're going through that, then do that, because that is a lot. And part of the depression is, you know, things have changed. Things are changing in your life. Things have changed, you know, with your parents. You're seeing that they're changing. Part of it is grieving because you see that they've changed. You know, they're not going to go back to who they used to be. You know, this is not the mom that I remember that used to be in the kitchen cooking biscuits early on Sunday morning and, you know, and singing the song before we went to church. You know, those type of things. And that's a... You know, that's grieving when we go through that and we realize that we've lost that and all we have left is memory. So even though they may still be there, you know, in the flesh, but there are certain things that we know that when they get older and sick and, you know, those things, you know, we've lost those things. Does anybody have anything to say? So I'm just talking. Nobody? You guys are just being so quiet.
Well, no, that's a problem. I was going to suggest, because I don't remember, you know, I've told you that my grandfather is suffering from dementia now, and so my mom is actually his caretaker, and they have programs, and like I said, I'm not 100% sure how she found out about kids, but they have programs that, you know, will allow you, because he didn't, he's not a very wealthy man, so they have programs through that will help you to get care for your parents, and then they, or just anybody elderly, they'll come in and they'll kind of gauge the overall health of the individual, and, you know, they'll allot a certain amount of time to that individual a week. So they assess them, and then they say, okay, well, you can have this many hours to go in and care for that person for, you know, every week. Every week you get this many hours. And then they pay people to do that. So I know you mentioned earlier, you know, that the person may have to quit their job, but if they do and they are the provider, like my grandfather, he won't really allow a stranger to come in and provide for him. He's very ornery in that way, and so it has to be somebody that he's familiar with to care for him, because otherwise it just wouldn't work. So if they are in a position where they have to quit their job, or, you know, and they, you know, need some sort of income, then they can do a little bit of background research and find out what programs that they have available. I wish I knew the name of the specific program that we have here in Texas, but for their different state, and look into that, because they may be able to supplement their income in that way.
Right. I do remember that when I was working at the Housing Authority, that there were people that they would hire them on with the health care facilities and pay them to be their caretakers, their CNAs, or home health care workers, I'm sorry. Because I know someone that did it, and so I personally, but I remember that they used to do that there. So is that the program you're talking about? They hired,
well, no, my mom is in a CNA. I'll find out and give you the information. Unfortunately, I didn't know to look for it before, but she's not a CNA or anything like that. They can get an outside worker. They can get an outside mm-hmm. worker. They can find someone to come into the home, or it can be a family member. And so they don't have to have any certifications or anything like that. Like, it could be me, my mom, my sister, my brother, any one of us could have done it, and we don't have any of those types of certifications. They just pay you to essentially take care of your parents.
Yeah, to be their home health care aid worker. Mm. So that's definitely worth looking into. It definitely is, you know, and that is something that I think, and Texas has actually a lot of programs, like you said, and I did, you know, I do remember that. And so we do have to, you know, just educate ourselves when it comes down to that. Thank you for that, Keisha. So, again, if you're listening and that's something that you are dealing with right now, trying to, you know, towards the financial burden of taking care of an elderly parent, go to your state, go to the Department of Human Services, Department of Aging. You know, they have different programs and things like that, and they should be able to lead you in the right direction to tell you what you may qualify for in that state. Also, you know, if you're taking care of an elderly parent, you know, or grandparent, make sure that you get your rest. Because sometimes we give, and you don't get your rest. Everything doesn't have to be done in a day. Get your rest. Take care of your health. We know, you know, we take them to the doctor. You know, you're taking them to the doctor, taking the kids to the doctor, making sure the husband or the wife is going to the doctor. Well, you make sure that you go to if you need to. Take care of yourself, and that's important because in order to be effective for everybody else, you have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself or you are running your body down and you're not going to be able to be there for everybody else because we can only go just so much. So we have to make sure that we're doing that. Anything, Mary?
Also, with that being said, by no means are we, you know, trying to, how can I put it, make anybody feel convicted, you know, if they just absolutely had to put their parents in a senior home or a nursing home. By no means are we trying to do that. All right, but what we're really saying basically is, you know, we all need a chance. We all just need a chance to thrive and to be able to live, you know. And with that being said, part of you looking back on the yesteryears of when mom and dad took care of you, just, you know, pay it forward, you know. And if, like I say, if you have to put your parents in a nursing home because the finances are just not there, and the state, and you need assistance from the state to do so, or the state will you know, in fact, pay for you and give you assistance to be able to help take care of your elderly grandmother, grandfather, or mother or father. You know, make sure, like my wife said, make sure you're getting your rest. You know, make sure that nutrition and everything is right, because it really is hard to take care of someone when you're sick or when you're just not at your best. And at your best means, you know, fully rested, you know, eating properly and not missing meals because you're trying to do these things. I mean, even God created the earth, you know, and he didn't try to do everything in one day. He did it in six, you know, and he took a rest on the seventh day. So make sure you're getting that rest. It's important. It's very, very vital, not only to you, but to everyone else around you, because if you're out running yourself rampant, then you're really no earthly good to no one, because you can't take care of nobody when you're not getting the proper sleep, you're not eating properly, you know, because our bodies need it. That's what our bodies are designed to do, be able to rest and get up and continue on with mission. You make sure that if you do have a sibling, right, or, you know, you have another family member, make sure that you're picking someone seriously that's trustworthy to take care of, you know, grandma, granddad, you know, or even mom or dad, you know, because I've also seen it where, you know, the caretaker was getting assistance and or grandmother or grandfather or mom or dad was still receiving a monthly check. And this check was being blown on other things instead of taking care of, you know, the elderly. So, you know, make sure definitely that you're picking someone that's trustworthy. And I'm saying these things because I'm speaking, you know, basically from personal experience and just things I witnessed over the years. But that's pretty much all I got to say.
And I have a question.
Go ahead.
To you, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Quasiman. You said earlier in the broadcast that, you know, when you're taking care of a parent, you know, to make sure that you spend family time and things like that. Well, my question would be, what if you or the parent feels like they're not part of the family when you just take your little family out and leave them there, like the guilt of the child, like me? I would feel guilty if I would just take me and my husband and my children out and leave my mom at the house, or she may feel that, you know, she's not part of the family. So how would we overcome that obstacle there?
I would say because, you know, it's not that you're – I think it's just, to me, this just my opinion, you know, it's just like – when, you know, you and your husband spend time together and you don't take the kids, you know, and you, it's not that you'll do it all the time. Like I said, maybe even once a month. But I think it's just, I think it's a thing we just have to get over in our minds. You know, if it's something that you choose to do, some people may not choose to do it, but know that you're not, you just have to know, look, I'm not excluding my mom, because everything else we go to, she's there. You know, we take her everywhere. We make sure, you know, we just continue to include her, of course, ensure her that she's not a burden, because I think that's something else, too, that we definitely have to address, the feelings from the parents, you know, the other side of the coin, where they feel like burdens, they go through their own depression, you know, that type of thing, because they're going from being the caretakers to the one being taken care of. And so I think that's a lot as well. But that's just my suggestion, you know, making sure that just continuing to show her love, include her in as much as you can, you know, giving her that assurance. And then when it comes down, you know, to the time that you all are just spending together, that one day, you know, a month or whatever, then, you know, just, hey, me my husband, you know, me, Sid, and the kids, we're just going to go grab some pizza, you know, or something like that. We'll be back. Or would you like for us to bring, you know, something back? That's what I would think, not making it a thing of, well, we're going to go and just spend some time without you, not that type of thing, but just, hey, we're going to go grab some pizza, you know, we'll be back, we can bring you some back, you know, let you stay here and get your rest type thing, because, and so we do have to, you know, preserve that. What you say, babe? What's your opinion? That's just my opinion, neither right or wrong. That's just what I would say. What would you say?
Well, I say when it comes down to the family unit, you definitely want to make sure that you include, you know, mom, dad, or the elderly parent. Include them in an activity, because a lot of times they just want to sit around and watch their children, you know, take care of their babies, and they want to watch their children and how they interact with their grandbabies. They don't even have to be doing much. They can just be sitting there, even if it's, you know, or build a routine for, you know, say, you know, your elderly parent or your grandparent, build a routine for them. Like every Tuesday, you know, we're going to get up and we're going to go have breakfast at this place and we're going to drink some coffee. Or even if you say, hey, I'm going to cook for you every Tuesday morning, and it's just going to be me and you, nobody else, and we'll sit around and we'll watch like Oprah Winfrey or something. You know, just something that gives them that sense of things being normal and them feeling a part of the family. Because you don't want to have them locked off in the back room and everybody else is just living on with their lives, because that right there, to me, definitely isn't right.
Well, she's saying, because I suggested, like, for the family to get out at least once a month,
right.
You know,
right.
Just the family. So she's saying,
right.
Well, how, okay.
Yeah, I was getting to that. But, you know, make sure that, you know, when you get that time that you're definitely reassuring, you know, mom, dad, or grandma, grandpa, that hey, look, we're gonna go do this, and you know, me and you know, my wife or me and my spouse, we're gonna go have us some us time. You know, we're gonna go watch the movie, we're gonna eat us some dinner, and then we'll come back. And you make sure you bring them something back. If they got a special treat they like you go to Krispy Kreme, they like Krispy Kreme donuts, bring them something back, make them feel special. That's important. So I think that definitely is important, Pastor Michelle. That was an awesome question. Thank you very much for that question.
And I think, too, you know, when you get someone to come over and sit with them, somebody that's going to have fun with them, kind of take, you know, it could be another family member, you know, having another family member to come over. I don't know. I guess I feel guilty sometimes when I leave my kids, but I realize that I need to leave my kids sometimes. You know, well, not a lot here because we just don't really have. But, you know, I wish I was somewhere I could lead them a little more, even though I'd be feeling a little guilty. But still, you know I need to sometimes, because you still have to, you know, have that, you know, relationship, you know, preservation for everyone else, especially if, you know, mom or dad moved into the house after the fact that, you know, it was just you guys and then mom or dad moved into the house. Because, you know, some cases mom has always been there. But that's just, you know, what I, that's That's my opinion on it. Does anybody else have an opinion on that? Nobody? Oh, my gosh, you guys are so quiet. Okay.
But I have another question.
Oh, my goodness. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I do thank you for the answer because that's some things that people may go through. I do have another question. Then I'll leave you alone.
No, you good. I'm just messing with you. Go ahead.
So, okay, you said earlier in the broadcast, you know, your dad has other children, and you're sure mm-hmm. that he won't need you. So that's not really mm-hmm. something that be discussed. What if he at the end says, listen, I want my daughter Kwajalein to take care of me. I want to move in with her. Then what?
That's not very likely to happen, but if it would, then I would take care of my dad.
Do you think that you would have to deal with the resentment of other family members, other siblings?
Of course. Mm-hmm. But I've dealt with that all my life.
And how would you do that? Like if you had to suggest somebody else is going through that right now because their parent decided to live with them and now their siblings hate them and they're arguing and things like that and they're trying to keep that from their mother or their father that's living with them, how would you suggest that they deal with that?
I'm going to answer this in a nice way, not the Kwajalein way. No, I'm just like, I would. Because you know. I would have to say that the most important thing at that point would be the desire of the parent. And yeah. I do, you know, understand that the sibling may be upset and you know, they may be and they may, you know, have things to say, but that's when even though it may be personal, don't try not to take it personal. Find you a support system. I would suggest they find a support system, you know, friends, other family members outside of those, you know, siblings, somebody they can talk to, kind of, you know, bounce things off of, you know, spouses, of course, and just, you know, try not to let it get you down. Just understand that, you know, this is what my parent wants and this is what I'm going to do. And it's good you brought up that question because that's actually an issue that is going on between, you know, between me and my sister now. Because my mom, her thing is she doesn't want to be on life support. That's her thing. And my sister's the oldest, you know, but she's – Keisha's pretty much saying, you know what, miracles happen. That's just what it is. And I'm not going to tell them to pull the plug. I'm not doing it because miracles happen and she can just lay up there until a miracle happens. That's Keisha's thinking. My mom's thinking is, that's not what I want. I've, you know, lived my life. I'm saved. Just go ahead, you know, and let me go. So my mom has given me the power of attorney, you know, the power of attorney to say, you know, go ahead and pull the plug. Well, if that ever comes down to it, which I hope it doesn't, but if it ever comes down to that, I believe that there most likely would probably be an issue with my sister, may be very upset with me, and I know that. However, I also know my mom's wishes. Now, am I saying that it's going to be easy for me to do? No, it's not going to be easy for me to do. I love my mom. That's my mom. You know, however, I know that that's what she desires. And by me being saved, I understand where she's coming from with that on a in a spiritual sense. I can understand her. But, you know, that's something that's going on. Now, and it's not easy to think about, you know, or even when we discuss it, but when it comes down to it, you know, it's what my mom desires. It's what she wants. And so for anybody that's going through that, you know, I definitely think if that's what your parent wants, if they want to live with you, they have their reasons for wanting to live with you. And though everybody else may be a little salty, you know, they can be salty. They can feel free to come over. Definitely feel free to give some income. Definitely feel free to do that, you know. But if that's what they decide, that's what they decide. And like you said, keeping it from the parent, I think in that case it would probably be, you know, just, again, finding your support system, not talking to your mom or your dad about that, but talking to the others that support you, you know, not putting that on them, even though a lot of times they know it's there anyway. But that's what I would say about that.
Thank you very much.
What would you say?
Who, me?
Yeah, what would you say if that was the case with you? If your mom wanted to come and live with you and your siblings had a problem with it?
Honestly, it wouldn't matter to me what my siblings would say because they don't run my house. So I'm not the one to I have the mentality in that case, you need to put your feelings in your back pocket and sit on them. If she wanted to come live with you, I wouldn't say a word. I'll come visit her at your house. And that's how it would just be. I wouldn't argue. I wouldn't care about your bitter feelings. I wouldn't care. You don't have the right to call me and go off on me. I pay my bills so I can hang up the phone. I'm very, very nonchalant, very non-caring when it comes to things like that. If my mom says this is what she wants, then that's what it will be. If she decides that she wants to go into a nursing home, we will try our best to talk her out of it. But if that's what she truly desires, then it will be somewhere close to me where I can go see her every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as far as if she decides to live with me and not my siblings, or even vice versa, she decides to live with my one of my siblings, we wouldn't even argue about it because that's just how we are. But even if one of us did try to buck up, none of us would care. We would just continue to do what my mom wished, you know, and that's just what it would be. And if anybody out there is listening, if you guys are in that right now, don't allow needless stress to happen. You pay your phone bill, you pay your rent, mortgage, or whatever the case may be. You regulate what goes on in your house, and that's just what it is. When they come to their senses, then they'll come to their senses. If they don't, they don't have to be a part of your life. It's just that. It literally is that simple.
And the sad thing is that people they stop talking to their siblings because of things like that. I know a situation like that in my family now. I hadn't talked to his siblings for years. It's just crazy. You know, they stop talking to their siblings for years. The parent, we don't pass, you know, transitioned on 10 years later, and they're still not talking to their siblings because mama wanted to go live with her. You know, and that's sad. To me, that's a deeper issue. To me, you got a way deeper issue than just mama came and lived with me. You know, that's just a deeper issue. And so we do have to keep in mind that it's what the parents want, you know, their desires that's important, and that we show people how to treat us. And like you said, you don't pay my phone bill. I don't have to answer the phone. There's just a certain way we have to realize, you know, that people, we don't have to, there's just certain things we don't have to take from anybody. We don't have to. So that was a great question, though, because that happens a lot. That was a great question. I wanted to read this before we go. This is from the website caring.com. And according to this website, this was written back in 2009. Okay. 80% of caregivers report strains on their marriages due to taking care of an elderly parent. Like I said, that was back in 2009. But here are some helpful hints they gave for coping with challenges within, you know, that challenge for coping with that within your marriage. So I'm just going to read these real quick before we end. Number one, talk openly with each other about feelings, emotions, and stresses as they relate to your care of aging parents. Number two, make an effort every day to keep the flame of your love affair with each other alive. Number three, approach all financial challenges with teamwork and open communication. Number four, don't blame each other when things get tough, since casting blame never solved a problem. Number five, don't wallow in self-pity. It's a wasted emotion. Number six, enhance your love relationship by providing each other occasional time for privacy and solitude. And number seven, remember that the simple things matter in marriage and they need to be practiced each day. So that, again, was from caring.com, and it was for marriages, you know, for marriages that have been strained due to the caregiving of an aging parent. So we do thank you guys for calling in tonight. We do appreciate everything. We appreciate your feedback, your questions, you know, your experiences. We do appreciate that. And if you know anyone that's going through it, we ask that you please share this broadcast. We're going to go ahead and put it on. We're going to broadcast it on our page. We will not be here on Friday. We're going to a retreat, a marriage retreat, so we're excited about that. We'll be going Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we will be back on Tuesday at 8. But we appreciate you guys. We love you guys, and you all have a wonderful night.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
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 All the nations of the earth now rejoice. All the people of God sing His praise.